Learning Michtam Eliyahu, the essay which is called Acquiring Eternity in a Moment. In the last class, based on the teaching of the rabbis, that a person should always occupy himself in Torah mitzvahs, even not for the sake of heaven, because from doing things not for the sake of heaven, he will come to do things for the sake of heaven. And we mentioned also that this is a great key to the service of Hashem, to come to do service at the highest level, i.e. for the sake of the heavens. So we have to start with doing not for the sake of heaven, doing it for a much lower, much more selfish intention. And the question that Rav Dessler asked, if that's the case, then why in our generation, where the generation is lower, has much of the incentive been taken away? As we explained, that the not for the sake of the heavens would be some sort of incentive. A person gets honor, he gets respected in his community because he's frum, and because he's learned, and because he keeps a lot of mitzvahs, so he gets a lot of respect in his community. And that itself is an incentive. It's not the correct incentive, but it's an incentive that will help him to serve Hashem. Now, it's not for the sake of heaven. It's an incentive that will promote him. And we said that this is the great key. The great key is to have this incentive. From doing things not for the sake of heavens, for selfish reasons. That's how we come to do it at the highest levels. So why is it that in our times, the incentive has been taken down? He mentions his times when it was dangerous to learn Torah. The Bolsheviki, the communists were out to get anyone who was learning Torah to put him in jail, endanger his life. And so it was no honor in being a rabbi and being a Talmud Chacham. For our times it's also true, because we live in a world where 90% of the Jewish people are all secular. They don't have any appreciation. They don't respect the fact that we're frum. They feel sorry for us, you know. But they don't respect us. We don't have any type of honor from the fact that we serve Hashem at a high level. We do more for Hashem. We don't have any of this worldly incentive. Why has Hashem taken away the incentive from us? So that was the question with which we began the essay. And we mentioned that we have to go through 8 ideas. The first idea we saw in the last class also, the first idea was that even though from doing not for the sake of heaven, you'll come to do for the sake of heaven, there must be a basic aspiration to eventually come to serve Hashem for the sake of heaven. In other words, if it's purely selfish, if it's purely not for the sake of the heavens, it will never come to be for the sake of the heavens, L'shem Shammai. It will never come to L'shem Shammai. But if there's a general aspiration that we do want to come to L'shem Shammai, we do want to serve Hashem for His own sake, so then even though we'll use the Lo L'shem Shammai for our own sakes, we will come to that. And the example we brought here, Rav Dessler said a story from his own childhood, how they used to get up on Friday night to learn Torah, and obviously it was for altruistic reasons, right? There's a mitzvah of learning Torah, it's a great mitzvah, and on Shabbos even more so. And yet there was an incentive that his mother prepared coffee and cookies, and that was the incentive, and that's what sweetened it for him. And that's the idea of serving Hashem with both our hearts, with the animal heart as well as the angelic heart. So the angelic heart wants to serve Hashem, but the animal heart wants to enjoy this world, wants beer and pizza and lie in the sun, lie in the beach. So therefore, to serve Hashem with both hearts is to involve the physical as well in the service of Hashem. And that's exactly what we're talking about. The first idea is that the general desire of a person is to come to serve Hashem at the highest level, but right now he uses the lowest levels, the lower levels of his being, to as an incentive, as a motivator, to motivate him to serve Hashem with more enthusiasm, with more excitement. That's idea number one. Idea number two, we're on page 25, the second paragraph where it starts Beis. V'tzorich lohovin, lama ze haya retzoni yisborach, sheyisnaya odom lavidos yisborach b'shelo lishmo. The question has to be, why is it Hashem's desire that the lo lishmo should help a person to serve Hashem? Why does this selfish incentive, this lowly, this animalistic incentive, why is it important? Why is it Hashem's desire that we should be using the animal part of our souls to help us to serve Hashem? Why does He want it that way? Why does He want us to involve the animal side? Why does He give us an animal side? But why does He want to involve the animal side in the service of Hashem? Why should we be using alternative, ulterior motives to serve Hashem? Why has He arranged it that we bring contamination and we mix the contamination together with the holiness? Like we right, it's like you have a bucket of white paint, right, and you throw some mud into the bucket. I mean, why would we do such a thing? You just bought a brand new bucket of white paint and you take mud and you mix it in, you throw it in. Why would we do such a thing? Especially when the ultimate motive is to get to total purity. So why are we mixing the contamination together with the purity? He could have created us in a way that we rise up to heights, the spiritual heights, without using contaminated items, without using the lowliness, the physicality of this world. Aval ha'inyanu, the answer is ki osa sulam mutzav arta v'roisha magi ha'shamayim. He has created for us a ladder. This is the idea. There is a ladder which stands on the ground meaning the lowest elements of this world, and its head reaches to the heavens. The heavens being the highest, the most spiritual is the heavens. The lowest, the most physical is the ground. And this is a ladder that stands on the ground, but the ladder reaches all the way to the heavens. And on each level, as the ladder is for us, and each step we take on the ladder, a person must struggle to resist his evil inclination. The evil inclination wants to pull him down. If he's taken a few steps up, the evil inclination wants him to take him down again, to go down the ladder. And he has to resist that, he has to fight that inclination. And he cannot jump from the lowest level to the highest level in one leap. A ladder, you can't jump up a ladder, right? You jump up a ladder, oh, you avoid what will happen to you, right? You take a leap, you're going to skip 5-6 steps of the ladder and you're going to just jump. Oy vavoy, what will happen to you, right? And therefore, the only way to do it is step by step, with resistance all the way. Not the weight of gravity. Gravity pulls us down all the way. It should be throughout our lives, right? From your birth to your final moments in this world, you're constantly climbing. It's a continuous climbing from step to step. Right, the beginning of the level of doing things for the sake of heaven. That's why this getting to do service of Hashem Lishmo requires as assistance from the Lord Lishmo. We need to start on the ground floor. The ground floor is with all of the physicality, the material interest, the material lusts, the material pull of this world. We have to use that because right at the ground there's very little heaven on the ground. It's all up and up there. We don't have it here. So we have to use what we have, which is the physicality of this world, the ulterior motives. Gamhi yamul bo odom ad ki esigeno. So it's with this a person has to be working, with these inclinations, with his own physicality, to serve Hashem even with the lowest part of his heart, until he reaches a high level, until he can get to the perfect motivation, which is to do the service of Hashem for the sake of Hashem. Lishmo. Behind the course of Hagon, Rav Chaim Veloshin Zatzal, this is what Rav Chaim Veloshin writes. It's a parable of a master who commanded his servant to go up to the loft, up to the upper floors. There's no reason for him to be angry with him until he starts climbing the stairs. Now, why don't you jump to the next floor? I can't jump to the next floor. So the boss would not be angry with his servant for going up by the stairway. That's no reason. There's no reason. That's the only way he can do it. So therefore, the boss doesn't expect what the servant cannot do. That he didn't jump with a single jump. It's impossible to go from level to level without climbing the stairs. Which is to say that with one's involvement in Torah and mitzvahs, not for the sake of heaven, our thoughts must be to reach the next level. So we're at a lower level, but we're thinking of reaching a higher level, so that we should get to the highest level of Lishmo. Shabvada im yira odom sha'eved hoylech ala madregus ana va'ona ve'eino oyle klal laliyah miyad yichlis alav. Certainly if the master sees that the servant is just going from side to side on the single step, he's remaining on a certain step, and instead of climbing upwards, he's moving from side to side along the same step, then certainly you'll be angry with him. Why aren't you climbing? What are you doing? What are you dancing on that step for? Can you get on to the next step? Right? Then that would be. But if we're climbing, there's no reason to be angry, because that's the way it's built. If we're not climbing, if we're just hovering on a single step, then that would be reason to be angry with us. Umaniflahu shafilu Yaakov avinu alav shalom. Even our forefather Yaakov, Shamra alav chazal shayav bechir ha'avis, he is the choice one of the forefathers. He is the highest of our forefathers. Gam Avram haya b'schus Yaakov. Avram Avinu himself, right, his existence depended on the merit of Yaakov. And as part of the reason Avram Avinu could succeed like he did succeed was because he was going to have a grandson, Yaakov. That's what gave him his strength. His strength lay in that future. His ability to do was because he had this grandson, Yaakov. So even Avram Avinu was dependent. Yaakov is the height of the Avos. He's the cream of the Avos. And Avram himself was dependent on Yaakov, and Yitzchak also. The tachlis of Avram, you know, the end goal of Avram Avinu was that a Yaakov would come through him. All his work would lead to a grandson Yaakov. It was the influence of the grandfather would bring about this marvelous grandson who would be Yaakov, who would be the attribute of truth. Yaakov is the ultimate, truth is the ultimate signature of Hashem, right? Truth is the connection, truth is Hashem, right? We're living in a world of falsehood. Physical world is called Sheker. And the ultimate closeness to Hashem is closeness to the truth. And truth is the attribute of Yaakov. That's his thing, that's his attribute, that's his attitude and attribute. Tamur titein emes Yaakov, like the verse says, give truth to Yaakov. Titein emes Yaakov, we know that verse. Truth, the attribute of truth is we align with Yaakov. Al yedei emes shubli shum nidnud pgam. And it's through truth, which has no blemish in it. Pure truth is absolute, it's not contaminated. The bli ze einenu emes, because if it's not 100% true, it's not true. Something that's only 99% true is not true. It's false. Right? So therefore, this attribute of truth, which is the absolute attribute, it's only through Yaakov that the 12 tribes, which is the basis of the Jewish people, the 12 tribes, who were all holy, could come out. They're not like with Avram produced the Yishmael, and Yitzchak produced an Esav. There was waste product. So here, only the Yaakov, the total truth, could produce the basis, the framework of the Jewish people, which was the 12 tribes. And even so that Yaakov is the height of heights, even so, this same Yaakov, Even so, Hashem showed him that you cannot climb only by way of steps of the ladder. There's no jumping, there's no hopping. You also will have to climb, right? Yaakov himself, that was Yaakov's dream, Yaakov's famous dream, on his way to meet his future wife, on the way to his destiny, which is going to be his wife, which is going to be building the whole Jewish people. On his way there, had a dream at no less a place than at the Har Habayis itself, the Temple Mount itself. That's where he had the dream, that's where he slept, and that's where he saw the vision was the vision of a ladder. So that's even Yaakov. Everyone has to start from the ladder, everyone has to start from the first rung, from the first step, and climb his way up. So this is our second idea. We asked the question was, why must we work with ulterior motives, lowly, animalistic motives in the service of Hashem? Why is that contamination mixed in our service? The answer is because the way Hashem wants us to do it is by way of a ladder. He wants us to start from the very lowest rung, from the darkness, from the darkest place. He wants us to move into the light from the dark, from the lowest rung, from contamination, from physicality, from the lowest rung. He wants us to climb. It has to be our climbing, step by step by step, that will lead to this holiness. That is why it's been set up like that. That's why we must use ulterior motives. We want to reach the highest levels, but we have to have these lowly motives to motivate us. Okay, that's idea number two, the idea of the ladder. Now, idea number three builds on number two as follows. He says like this, Adam bari oirehu besulam be'atzmoy. A healthy person would climb a ladder by himself. A healthy person would climb a ladder by himself. Right? A healthy, strong person, right? No medical conditions, no medical problems, will climb a ladder by himself. Im gam yile kshie dagois harve, even though he'll become weary when there'll be many, many steps. It'll be many, many steps. It's a slow process, and he'll become weary, but he'll still climb. He'll climb. It's hard work, but he'll climb. Gam achalash v'achole yale. Also, someone who's very weak will also climb. A weak person will climb, maybe a bit slower. He will climb slower, but he'll hold the banister, and he'll take little breaks, but he'll climb. And a sick person, a sickly person, also will climb. A sickly person will climb. Achikach leimatel istaybui. Maybe a sickly person will be holding a stick, he'll be holding a crutch or support, but he will climb. Hayeled, and a child, mishtamesh biyodav raglav, a small child will climb up using hands and legs, hands and feet, he'll crawl up, but he's still climbing. Ve'ele eza dagos, and he'll also climb. So everyone's climbing, no problem, everyone can climb, so we all can climb, so we're all climbing. Ach, however, if a person is an amputee, he has no legs, right? An amputee. So he can't climb at all. You can't climb without legs. You can't climb a ladder, right? Using that analogy, without legs. He can't climb at all. He can't even stand. He's always falling over. Can't stand. So how does he, what's with him? There's a ladder and there's this handicapped person, amputee. So what's with him? Elohu koire lemerachamov. He calls to his friends, to those who love him, to his family and friends. She yisu lemal. They should carry him up. So he calls to the one who loves him to carry him up. And that way he also can get to the top. How does the amputee get to the top of the ladder? He cries for help. Help. Help me, until someone comes along and carries him to the top. So he also gets to the top. He didn't do it himself, but he was taken there. He cried out and he was taken there. That's our analogy. So it is with the ladder of the service of Hashem. Atzadikim oilim v'atzmom. Right? The righteous climb by themselves. And they fight off their inclinations, the evil inclinations, the animalistic inclinations at each level. Right? They have to fight them off. They resist them. They resist the temptations, and they get up to a next level, and then a next level. That's the tzaddik. More normal people, yeshiyale bekvedus, who also climb, but slower. They climb with a certain heaviness. Matchilim da'avoida. And those who are newcomers, right? The youngsters, the newcomers, the new ones, the ones who are starting anew. Shem b'chinas yilodim, they're like the children. The newcomers are like the children. Mistayim b'yadeim v'maklus. They're climbing using their hands and feet and using sticks. V'chol minei shelo lishma. All types of ulterior motivations. You know, the analogy of the stick, or the analogy of using your hands and feet, crawling, is ulterior motivations, lolishmo, using lolishmo to climb the ladder. Okay, the tzaddik can climb by themselves without the lolishmo. They also need a certain amount of lolishmo, ulterior motives. But the weaker, the ulterior motives, but they're climbing, at least they're climbing. Aval arishoyim, however, the wicked. The wicked people, balemum, who are blemished, they're handicapped. Asher lo yuchlu lizgabe al yitzram klal. What does it mean? They're handicapped. They're not able to resist temptation at all. They say, "Oh, I can't resist. I can't resist temptation. I can't." Right. So these are called the rishoyim. They're totally weak when it comes to any type of temptation. Their hearts have become contaminated with a great contamination. There's no strength in the heart at all. There's no willpower. There's no discipline. Nothing. Just whatever, right? Whatever's available, they're running towards. And they can't even take a single step. There's nothing there. They've got no. They're like the amputees. They've got no legs to climb. They can't even take the smallest of steps. They can't take. My yasu hem. So what do they do? What do they do? Hem akoyim el Hashem. They call to Hashem. So when they want to do tshuva, but they can't. They don't have any discipline. They don't have any strength. They don't have any heart to do it by themselves. They're totally handicapped. They call to Hashem. V'merachem aleihem v'yalim lamala bli dagus. And He has mercy on them. He feels sorry for them, and He carries them up without steps. Right? They float up to the top without steps. We're starting to see here the reason for the name of this essay, acquiring eternity in a moment. Right? This is the idea we're bringing out here. Hashem has mercy on them. They cry out, "Help me! I want to be a tzaddik. Also, I also want to be a tzaddik. I'm so weak, but I also want to be a tzaddik." So Hashem will carry, they'll give a cry, a genuine cry, a heartfelt cry, and Hashem will take them up without using the steps at all. In Libam Yishaveh Bekirvam, if their hearts break in their midst, because there's a genuine sense of regret. And they feel bad, they feel sorry for all the ugliness. And all the abominations and their crimes, all their different crimes, they feel bad about it. They genuinely feel bad about their terrible actions, their contaminated actions. V'yispalul Hashem, and they'll daven to Hashem. Yimtzu es atzmam lamala. They will also find themselves at the top of the ladder. Magically, they suddenly find themselves at the top of the ladder. K'moshu ne'emam, nesati lechem lev chodesh. There's a pasuk that says, Hashem says, "I will give you a new heart." Right? Your heart is totally contaminated. It's totally spoiled. It's full of holes. And it just can't be repaired. But I'll do a heart transplant. I'll just replace your heart with a brand new spiritual heart. L'tachas asher tzadik yamor shanim harbei. And where tzaddik normally would labor for years, for decades, to achieve this level, decades of work, hard work, laborious work, every day davening, getting up early, being careful, being diligent, being conscientious, where tzaddik will labor for years and years, l'hachnis es ruach hakedusha liboy, to bring a spirit of holiness into his heart, nema b'vali tshuva, about the vali tshuva, these who do repentance, right, even though they're on such a lowly level, these who do repent about them, it says, "Ruach Hadosha Eten Bekevchim." I'll give them a new spirit. Just a makeover. Right? They'll be totally. All their parts will be replaced. And from here, this is the source that no sinner should ever say, "Heyach Eshuv Vani Rochu Kolkach." No one should ever say, "How can I repent? I'm so distant. This is, no one should ever say that. Because no matter how far he is, right, Hashem can bring him back. I so much wanted to be good, but my heart is so weak. My heart is so contaminated. No one should ever say that because of this option of calling out for help. He just needs to see the goal, see the objective with truth. And then sense his regret, express his regret, and beseech Hashem. And then his work will be done for him. It will all be done for him automatically. Now this exists at different levels for everyone. You know, there's that aspect of our lives where we're laboring ourselves, and there's the aspect where we suddenly have this wonderful, marvelous help. We see this by Yaakov also. The Yaakov is a chazal that says the pasuk Yivka b'mokum. He says that he came to the Temple Mount. Sh'amu chazal, our rabbis taught them. He came to Nosan Daita Lachzoy. The minute he took it to heart to go back, he actually, when he was on his way, when he was on his way to Aram, to Lovan's house, so he actually went by the Temple Mount. He actually didn't stop. And he was already in Chutz La'aretz. And suddenly he said, oy vavoy, how could I have skipped over the place where my fathers davened? How can I skip over the Temple Mount? How can I pass it by? So he said, you know, I'm going to have to go back. Now it was a long trip. He'd already traveled a very long way, but I'm going to have to go back. I acted wrongly. I missed the opportunity. I have to go back. So once he decided to go back, he just thought of going back. There was a miracle in the land, jumped for him. He said, I'm going to have to go back, and like a magic, he was back. He was transported back. Right? Magically transported back to place. But then so this is the idea, even by Yaakov, this idea of suddenly being helped to do something. He made a mistake and he missed this opportunity. He was helped to get back. V'nema, and the pasuk says, Ashiveinu Hashem Alecho V'nashuva, right? Return us to you, Hashem, and we will return. Return us to you, and we will return. Pirush. Shachoyte tzarech rak lischare, which is to say, the sinner only needs to express a regret. Just say you're sorry. That's it. Say I'm sorry. You know, sometimes we hurt someone's feelings. We sin against someone, and maybe we owe them a fortune of money, and we can't possibly pay them. But if we'll just go say we're sorry, they're prepared to forgive us. Just say you're sorry. So with Hashem, it's certainly like that. We can't make up all the lost years, all the mistakes that we've made, all the terrible errors we've made. We can't correct it all. Like Yaakov, he didn't have the time to take this whole trip back. But say you're sorry. Say you're sorry. That'll change the whole thing. So that's what we're saying. The sinner has to just express regret. That Hashem should return him to him. And then the compassion will be to such an extent it'll be as if the sinner returned by himself. He gets credit like he did it himself. Hashem does it for him and gives him credit like he did it himself. And that's what it says, the verse, and we will return. What do you mean, and we'll return us to you, and we will return? It's ridiculous. What do you mean, return us to you, so you'll return us to you, and then we will return? What will you do? You've been returned. What do you mean, and I'll return? The verse doesn't make sense. Return us to you, and we will return. What do you mean, and we will return? You've been returned already. Seeing Hashem is going to bring us back. How can you return yourself? He's already brought you back. So what do you mean you're going to come back by yourself? So the idea is you get credit as if you came back by yourself. That's what it means. And we will return. We'll get credit as if we did it ourselves. And this is the idea of acquiring your eternity in a moment. You acquire your eternity in a single moment. Every time that this phrase comes up in the Gemara, it's speaking about Balei Tshuva. Aber a tzaddik, omel hu kol yomov, kol yomei chayov lalois midag l'dag. Whereas the tzaddik doesn't apply to the tzaddik. The tzaddik doesn't acquire his world in a single moment, because he's acquiring it with decades of hard work, his own work. Okay, so this is our third idea, and that is the idea of, we've mentioned that a person must climb a ladder. However, there is, for those who cannot climb, right, like the amputees who cannot climb, so those who climb, climb. They do the hard labor themselves. But those who cannot climb, there's another option, and that is to cry out to Hashem and to be carried up to the top and to get credit as if you did it yourself. Right? So this is, there are two ways to climb the ladder. That's what we've learned in idea number three. Two different ways to climb to the top of the ladder. Okay, idea number four. I'm on page 26 now, where the Dalit is. V'hine. Lo yikane adam v'chosuch reglayim. Al ashe lo yelech v'raglov. Ach alichos anasa lidecheim hanoisim oisim. No person feels jealous of an amputee. Right? No one's jealous. You see a person without legs, you don't say, oh, I'm so jealous of him. Right? No one feels jealous of a person who can't walk himself, and he has to be helped along. Everything he does, he has to have this assistance, this aid. And therefore, likewise, a tzaddik should not be jealous of a baal teshuva. Certainly not, right? He's merited to spend his life serving Hashem, and this person spent his whole life sinning, and the last 5 minutes, yeah, he did tshuva. Right, 5 minutes, and that's it. And he's at the top with everyone else. Yeah, hi, I'm also here. Right, okay, I've also got an invitation. Right? So certainly, a tzaddik will not feel jealous of a rosh of a baal tshuva. Shari aschar u'lefiroi v'maisa, because the reward is according to the effort. Right, the reward is according to the effort. You have 5 minutes effort credit. It's true, you got to the top, but you did 5 minutes work. Yeah, and I've got 120 years of work. The reward is according to the degree of the labor. Right, and according to the level of the person conquered his own evil inclination. It's also, it's not just quantitative, it's qualitative, right? To what degree? To what degree did he do his service for the sake of Hashem? What's the quality of his service? He was there, but I mean, how much was he there? Right, the person goes to daven. Right, how much of his davening was davening and how much was it daydreaming, right? So some people it's 70-30, some people it's 50-50, some people it's 80-20, whatever it is, right? So it's according to being there, arriving. Right? Half the success is arriving, is just being there, doing the work. And then also, how much, to what degree, did he resist temptation in the service of Hashem? B'vada sh'atzadik asher kol yomov hu mischazeh keneged Yitzrei. Certainly a tzaddik, who all his life was overcoming, was fighting, was conquering his inclinations, who yoyse god mi baal tshuva, certainly he's greater than a baal tshuva. He's done so much more. Certainly he's a totally different level, much greater person. He's done so much more. The imken kashan, therefore we have a difficulty, and that's as follows. Lama be'ele ha'maisi shalor shoyim sheshovu. Why is it concerning the deeds of these wicked people who did tshuva? It says, Nehemat, the Gemara brings there, Bocha Rebbe, when Rebbe heard, Rebbe Yehuda Nossi, right, one of the greatest rabbis we ever had, Rebbe, when he heard these stories, cried, Bocha Rebbe, he cried and he said, Yeshkeinu ilom v'sha'atah, there are those who acquire their world in a moment. So he cried, and he said, those who acquire their world in a moment. So why is he crying? Why is he crying? As if he's missed out, as if he's lost out. They got it and we didn't. Right? So right, what does it mean? What does it mean that he cried? That's our first question we're going to have to answer. The Yosef is a question. Also, even more so, it's difficult. Lahavin Amram Zal, what our rabbis have taught. Vamokam Shebale Tshuva Oimdim, the place where the Bale Tshuva stand. Tzadikim Gmurim Einem Yocholim Lamud. Right? The perfect tzadikim cannot stand in those places. The place where the baal tshuva stands, a perfect tzaddik cannot stand. He cannot reach such a place. He cannot touch such a place. So what does it mean? It sounds like he's less. Right? How can the baal tshuva be greater than the tzaddikim? Right? This we have to understand. So we're understanding why does Rebbe cry? And what does it mean that the tzaddikim cannot stand in the place of the Baalei Tshuva? It's just beyond them. What does it mean? Amnam. Zeu birur shel dov. This is the explanation. Omar Kosov. The Pasuk says, Kol anikra bishvi im shvi, ichvedi berosiv yetzartiv afasisi. The verse says that all that is called by my name, right, which means the entire world. The entire world is Hashem's world. It's all, everything in the world is Hashem's. So all that has my name attached to it, all that's mine, I created it for my glory. We mentioned this idea in an earlier class also. I created it for my glory, and I formed it and I made it all for my glory. All of it exists for my glory. Right? Which is to say that the purpose, the whole purpose of creation is to reveal the glory of Hashem. As we live in a dark world, where Hashem is invisible, you don't see Hashem. And the purpose of our service in this world is to reveal the glory of Hashem. We gave the analogy of someone's in a mansion, but all the lights are out and it's dark and you can't see anything. You're tripping over the furniture and you can't see anything. But if you turn on the lights, oh, then everything becomes beautiful. So to reveal Hashem's presence in the world, to release that glory to the world, that's the purpose. That's what it means. It was all created for my glory, for bringing my glory into the world, which means to reveal His presence in the world, that the Shekhinah, the divine presence, the sheen of the divine presence should shine in this world. Now, we achieve this there with Shnei Oifanim. This is our goal, to try and bring the divine presence to the degree that we can. And we do this in two aspects, two ways. Aleph, Asher Tzadikim b'maseim, the tzaddikim with their deeds, with their good deeds, shemoisrim nafsham la'asos ritzon kohenam, that they are self-sacrificing to do the will of Hashem. They give up their own interests for the will of Hashem, to do the desire of Hashem. And yiglu b'zeh es hadakvod, they reveal the glory of His, or the beauty of His glory. As when we see the self-sacrifice of a tzaddik, he's willing to give up his own personal conveniences and comforts to serve Hashem. So it's beautiful. You see the beauty of his actions. I know a person does an act of kindness. You see the beauty. A person helps someone who's unfortunate. Or a person sits and learns Torah. Or a person thinks of Torah ideas. So we see the beauty of his actions. This is drawing. This is called drawing the glory of Hashem into this world. The beauty of Hashem. That's one aspect. That's one way. The second way is by Nogosu Yisboch Im Ha'olam Lefi Maise Odom. The second way is the way Hashem himself acts with this world, and as the way he interacts with this world according to the deeds, Yizgalu. So there also is this revelation. There's a revelation that comes from the tzaddikim on their side, and there's a revelation that comes from the side of Hashem. I think of two people coming closer together, but they're both moving. Right? A is moving towards B, and B is moving towards A. Right? So there's the tzaddikim in terms of their own actions coming closer to bringing the glory of Hashem, and Hashem himself from his side moving closer to us. This is the second side. When he slowly he removes the errors, the mistakes, the mistaken concepts of the from the world. He clarifies. He enlightens the world. He directs the world to the light of Hashem. He shows off his wisdom. He shows us his wisdom. He reveals to us his wisdom. His justice, his truth. He shows us his compassion. Right? He shows us that we can appeal to his compassion. And he's able to be kind to us without measure. Immeasurable kindness he pours on us. And this also, this revelation which Hashem himself reveals himself, we also have a share in it. Because we're the ones who arouse Hashem to reveal himself. So we're moving towards Hashem, that's number one. And number two is we cause Hashem to reveal himself, that's number two. And it's in terms of material well-being. Hashem sends blessings to the world. He sends the rain. He sends food. He sends good health. He sends us nachas. And so with Gashmis and also with Ruchnius together, that there's a revelation. Hashem, there's this heavenly help that comes down. They both come down simultaneously. And our sages have taught, Kepischa shel machat, open for me. Now, let me in. And we're saying that we have to do our service, and then we have to let him in. So he's prepared to reveal himself, but we have to let him in, right? If you have an important guest at your door, and he's knocking at the door, right? So you have to open the door. He's not gonna open the door. He's polite, right? He's not gonna open your door and walk into your house without you. Open the door, and then he'll come in. So in terms of letting Hashem in, that's also us. And what the Rambam have taught is pischuli kapischu shel machat. Oh, make me an opening. How big must the opening be? It can be as thick as a needle. Right? In other words, imagine you've got this thick wall. If you have a long needle, you pierce through the wall with your needle, and you'll make a little a pinprick. You'll make a hole the size of a needle. So it says, if you make just that little hole, pischuli pischuli shel machat, v'ani eftach lechem kepischu shel ulam, and I'll widen it. It should be like the entrance of a banquet hall. You know, the entrance of a banquet hall is very big entrances. You don't have small doors. You have these huge doors, double doors, triple doors, and they all fling open. So you just make an opening like the opening of a needle. I will open it like the entrance of a banquet hall. Keneged kol yischazkus. She's chazik adam b'avodas Hashem, which is to say, corresponding all of the efforts that we make to serve Hashem, like our efforts, those are the pinpricks, our efforts to try and bring Hashem into our lives, our efforts to try and serve Hashem more. Mashpia lo Hashem is bo siyata dishmaya des shir otzum hazeh shel pischa shel ulam. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, correspondingly, he pours down with a tremendous measure this opening of the hall, the banquet hall, those double doors, those huge double doors, le'erech pitzpishol matat. Right? You make the needle brick, and I'll open up the double doors. We call ikar mishpat v'rachamim benogel o'ilam hazehu al dva hashma siyada d'shmaizu. This is all of the justice and all of the compassion, all of the goodness of this world only comes through this influence. Gam hashpos tzrochim gashmi t'luyim b'zeh. Right, the spiritual influences, as well as the material influences, will only come through this service. V'hine, atzadik yigale kvod Hashem bebechirosa v'chol hamoin ma'isav atoivim kol yimei chayav. The tzadik, he brings down this pouring, these doors that are fling open, he brings this down with his good deeds all of his life. V'gam b'chol echad mima'isav atoivim v'mashe kol pischa shel machat shebidoyim v'pischa shel ulam keneged milamala. Okay, with each one of his deeds, each one of his good deeds, so which each deed being like a pinprick, so he brings down, he opens up these double doors to bring down this heavenly help. He brings along the revelation of Hashem and his glory. The sinner, called Yoma b'chol ma'isa v'igdil hestir ki mora pi Hashem. The sin, on the other hand, just darkened the world. He made the world darker and darker and darker. There is no God. There is no Hashem. We do what we want. We live for ourselves. We steal and we rob and we embezzle and we crook other people. We try to deceive other people. So therefore, the Choyte, who's been making the world darker and darker as he goes along, Gam b'shuvah epischa shel machat shelo katanta is he. Even if he does try to do some kind of tshuva, it's a very, very small pinprick that he makes, because he's got nothing. He's absolutely nothing. There's nothing to him. He's totally in the darkness. So therefore, his efforts to do tshuva is something very, very minor. He can't even take the smallest step. He's such a weak individual. He can't even take the smallest steps. Because he's so contaminated himself with so many sins, so many years and years and years of indulging himself. So many years of sin. However, he has this opportunity of revealing. There's this other option, number two. He has the opportunity of revealing with great heavenly help, without any measure. And he can show great compassion without any measure, which the tzaddik can't do. In other words, he can release a type of help which he not deserves at all. But it's such a heavenly help, you know, it's coming from such a darkness, there's a light that's coming from such a darkness, there's a huge compassion, way, way above what the tzaddik. So this huge compassion is what the tzaddik, what the rosha, what the sinner is is revealing, this is something that no tzaddik has done, no tzaddik can do. We're still going to explain this a little bit more with the next class, but this is the beginning of our explanation. What a sinner can do with his tshuva, where Hashem is, you know, because it's amazing. Right? Here you have this person who's climbing up the ladder, step by step by step by step, right? And it's terrible. And suddenly you've got this person whizzing by, right? It's unbelievable what happened there. So this whole action of this revelation, it's a total revelation, because that's what we're doing. I mean, the ladder is revealing the glory of Hashem, revealing the light of Hashem. And suddenly you have someone whizzing by at 100 miles an hour, right to the top in a moment. So that also, that's a huge compassion. He's revealing this huge compassion of Hashem. It's all Hashem. But he's showing the world something that no one else can show the world. And this is a different type of service, which has a different type of light. And it's a whole different place. Spiritually speaking, it's a different place. We'll still explain this a little bit more next week.